happening. John chapter 14. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here this morning. We do thank you for the freedom that we have.
Amen.
Father, not only in our country, in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, your shed blood on Calvary's cross. We
Amen.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
We look into your word now. We ask that you would open now our eyes that we may behold wondrous things. Father, just speak to our hearts now. For
it's
in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We're living in a time when there are many troubled hearts, many troubled minds because of all that's happening. And the answer to that trouble and the answer to that unrest in the heart and mind is Christ. He says here, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Well, whatever Jesus has, it's perfect. And so when he leaves his peace with us, that is a perfect peace. Notice in chapter 16, verse 33, John 16, 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what?
Peace.
In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so Jesus will speak to our hearts. He will give rest to our troubled hearts and our troubled minds as we spend time in his word, the living word of God. Notice with me in Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. Last evening, my wife was sharing with me something that a doctor was saying, an interview with a medical doctor, and the question was put to her, "How do you know what you are hearing, if it's truth or not?" And one of her pieces of advice was look at the data, look at the research before trouble arose. Okay, what did the data say? What did the research say before trouble came? In other words, what was proven before everyone became so troubled? She says, if you're searching for truth, look back to when things were solid. Well, that's the word of God here, Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
If we're living in a troubled day, a day of unrest, then look back before all that happened at the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is what?
Sure,
making wise the simple. Some questions was put to this doctor, and the doctor said, "See here, shows just how much study and research is needed, because the doctor herself couldn't answer really in detail some questions." And she said, "That just goes to show you that this whole situation needs a lot more research before people panic. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are what?
Right,
rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is what?
Clean,
enduring forever." Some questions was put to this doctor, and one of the responses was, "Follow the money." In other words, okay, someone is saying something. There's this article in this medical journal. Okay, how is that medical journal supported? Look at the advertising in it. Wow, there's an eye-opener there. No wonder they're saying what they're saying. No wonder they're allowing to be printed what is being printed. Look at the money trail. "But the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." God is never in it for the money. He's not in it for what he can get out of it for himself. It's clean. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than what? Gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is what? Great reward. So why are so many people troubled right now? Number one, if you're taking notes, because there are wars and rumors of wars. That's why some people are troubled. Wars and rumors of wars. Look with me, please, in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And verse 6. Matthew 24, 6. The Bible says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye what? Be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." So wars and rumors of wars. I know that China has flexed its power and subjugated Hong Kong. They have their iron fist around Hong Kong now. And yes, I know that China is threatening Taiwan. They've always claimed that Taiwan is theirs ever since the war there. And the Taiwanese got out there on the island. They fled the mainland and they have a democracy and it's prospered. China wants it. I know that. And they're threatening them right now, yes. I know that Russia is amassing troops on the border with Ukraine again, and they're worried. All of Europe is worried about it. But you know what? The Lord tells us here in verse 6. What does he tell us? "And ye shall hear of wars," and what? "Rumors of wars." And then Jesus says, "See that," what? "You be not troubled." You may say, how could we not be troubled? Because the Lord knew that all this was coming ahead of time. And it tells us this is the beginning of sorrows. This is not the time to be weak and faint. This is the time to work, for the night is coming. Amen? It's not the time to just stop serving God. Now's the time, if ever, is to get busy serving the Lord while we have the time. It's not to tremble in fear. It's to trust. To trust who? To trust the Lord. I'm not trusting our military. Electronic warfare, who's on the top? We trust the Lord. So it's Jesus who said, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." When is the end going to come? You know, a lot of people in this world are afraid the end of the world is going to come through global warming. Well, they called it global warming, and then the Lord had to show them that's silly, so he sent cold. So they changed the name to climate change. And so, but they're petrified that we're going to kill ourselves through driving our cars and using Freon and our air conditioners and all kinds of things. They're afraid we're going to bring about the end of the world, but that's not so. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We know how the end is going to come. It's going to be by the word of God. God spoke this world into existence, and God is going to speak this one out of existence and create a new heaven and a new earth one day. But 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse 7. "And to you who are what? Troubled." There's that word again. There's so many people troubled right now. "But to you who are troubled," what? "Rest with us." What perfect peace the Lord offers. All about us there's trouble, but the Lord offers us peace. He's offering us his personal peace. That's really something, isn't it? He's just not offering us a small imitation. He's offering us his peace, and his peace is perfect. And he says, "To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." We saw in Sunday school this morning about a disobedient prophet and a donkey who could see God's angel out there, and the donkey had more sense than the prophet in that moment. Well, We're not fearing all of the armies gathering together, threatening on the scene, because we know the Lord with his mighty angels, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And that's why we want them to know the Lord before they get to this point. Amen? We want them to be saved, and the Lord wants them to be saved. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with what? Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Can you imagine what it would be like for those in hell? Not only the torment of hell, but the blackness of darkness forever. And here, to be separated, it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Pastor Jeremy is talking about God's grace in Sunday school, and then in the songs we sang, we partake of so much the grace of God that we do take for granted. We take for granted just being able to meet here this morning. For the past year, many people have not been able to meet. Yesterday, when we were out witnessing, one of the guys mentioned that pastor in Canada, who determined he was going to meet anyway, now has a fence around the church. The government has put a fence around that church building and will let no one inside. We have so many blessings. I know Michigan has been in the news a lot in the past year, but you know what? Haven't we seen God's grace still? We have. And we should thank him so much for his grace to us. So why are so many people troubled now? Number one, because there are wars and rumors of wars. Number two, because there are warnings of coming famine. Matthew 24. There are warnings of coming famine. Matthew 24, 7. And the reason there's warnings coming about this summer is because in so many countries of the world, they shut down everything. And when they shut down everything, now they are predicting there's going to be a huge food shortage in countries around the world this summer. Let alone, you know, if we thank God for the rain we had here, I mean, the grass is turning green. How many places are not going to have rain this year? I don't know, but Matthew 24, 7. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be what?
Famines.
That is part of the equation. It is coming. Famines. Remember, with Joseph, 7 years of famine, and the people of Canaan had to come down, his brothers, his family had to come down with him, because he was prepared, because he was waiting upon God, and God used him to be able to make preparations for the famine. I was reading Israel 365 News said, reported this. They said David Beasley, the executive director of the UN Food Bank, warned that without drastic measures, the world faces, and get this, these are his words, the world faces famines of biblical proportions in 2021. End quote. I really found that amazing that anyone out of the United Nations would quote from the Bible. And then to say, this person's saying the world faces famines of biblical proportions in 2021. What I find amazing about that is the UN normally is pushing things like family planning and abortion, things along that line, things that are shedding innocent blood. They're pushing things like sodomy, which is an abomination to God and will cause, Leviticus 18, us and any nation to be spewed out of their land. And so for this leader of the UN, and the UN traditionally takes a position against Israel. And so I found it really amazing that this leader, this executive director of part of the UN would say 2021 may bring upon this world famines of biblical proportions. I thought, since when do you believe the Bible? And what it made me think, though, is, you know what? Even scoffers at God and his word, at times when things get really bad, They have heard about what God has done. And they bring it up. I mean, why would he say a famine of famines of biblical proportions if he's never heard anything in the Bible? Obviously, he has heard things in the Bible, which makes us think. You know, sometimes we think our witness is of no avail. Sometimes we think that handing out a gospel tract is of no avail. Personally talking to people. But we do not know what is stuck in their hearts and minds that God is going to bring out just at the right time, like Matthew 27. Let's turn to Matthew 27, 62. There are some times when unsaved people will remember more of the Word of God than saved people. Matthew 27, 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we what?
Remember.
We remember that deceiver. Now, who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus. Jesus is hung on the cross. He's buried in the tomb. His body is buried in the tomb. And now they come to Pilate, these unbelievers. They come to Pilate, saying, verse 63, Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after what?
3 days.
3 days, I will what?
Rise again.
Can you believe that? They remembered what Jesus said. None of his disciples remembered it. Verse 64. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. What they were worried about when it happened, his disciples didn't even believe it happened. And they're worried that the disciples are plotting to steal his body and then say, see, his word came to pass. Well, when his word came to pass, they had a hard time believing it. It didn't sink in. It did not sink in to them. So why are so many people troubled right now? Because there's wars and rumors of wars. There's speculation about great famine hitting the world this summer. Number three, why are people so troubled? Because there are surges in this present pestilence. There are surges in it. I've read that Michigan, according to what I'm reading, is Michigan is number one right now. Not in a good sense, in a bad sense. The number one amount of COVID cases going on. Let's go back to Matthew 24:7. Should we be troubled about this? Well, our hearts go out to those who are affected by it. But as far as being fearful of what's going to happen, we don't have to be. Matthew 24:7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and what?
Pestilences.
Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary defines pestilence as a contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating. Contagious, infectious, epidemic disease. They're calling this, and they have for the last year, a pandemic. Pan meaning all across the world. This COVID has spread. It started in Wuhan, China, and at first they tried to say it passed from snakes and on to humans. And then others are speculating, actually, this virus escaped out of a chemical lab over there in Wuhan that the Chinese have. I don't know exactly how it started, but it does seem to be pretty evident that it did start in Wuhan. And so last year when it started, I did some research on that. And so it actually started in the end of 19. And so I read in October 18th, through the 27th of 2019. They held the 7th military World Summer Games in Wuhan. And in preparation for that, President Chai, and it said right there in the article that he hates crosses. And I'd been reading for some time that they'd been tearing down crosses in China off from church buildings, and bulldozing church buildings in. And so in Wuhan, President Chai, they said, did not want to see any crosses when he came into town for those Olympic Games. And so they were just going through tearing them all down, bulldozing churches. One of the church leaders I read, he said this. He appealed based on their constitutional rights in China to hold church, to have crosses. And he was told by this, by the government official, don't talk about the Constitution anymore. You should follow the party, the Communist Party. So what happened when they removed all those crosses? What happened when they tried to remove Christ and the cross from Wuhan? Well, that's when this epidemic hit, this pestilence hit Wuhan. Whether it escaped from the lab, I don't know. Whether it started some other way, I don't know. They're saying it's the seventh coronavirus that has passed from animals to humans. But I tell you something, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, Galatians 6:7. And when they tried to rid Christ and the cross out of Wuhan, this epidemic started there. And it brings people into bondage. Just think of all the things that have happened that God is trying to wake people up. What has this coronavirus, the seventh one, which they call COVID-19, what has it done? It's brought isolation on people all over the world. Do you realize that without Christ and the cross, that's what people face for all of eternity, is isolation in the lake of fire, separation from God. Do you realize all the people who have died alone because of this coronavirus? People forbidden to have anyone visit them in the hospital. They've died alone. Do you realize how many people are going to experience the second death alone for all of eternity? That's what separating Christ and the cross from a person's life will do. And God just is trying to wake people up. What is this seventh coronavirus done? It's pulled people away from their gods, little g, their idols. And they couldn't go to the sporting events. I mean, they pay so many of these players millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, and so many of them are so conceited. They think of themselves as gods. And now when they don't like something that's going on in America, what do? They use their platform in sports to try to trash America. That just shows how they think they're gods. I really don't care what they think. I really don't. But evidently, many people do. So people have been pulled away from their idols. Movie stars. The movie theaters were empty for months, forbidden to gather together. Pulling people away from their idols. They idolize these movie stars. But has it brought about a revival in America? No, it actually hasn't. We are at the depths right now. Right now, we are back to promoting abortion, back to paying for abortion with our tax dollars. We're back to promoting sodomy. We seem like we're back to all the old evils. No, there hasn't been a great awakening and a revival in America. We haven't learned. We haven't learned our lesson. This is not going to be the last pestilence to hit America and the world. The tribulation period is coming, and it's going to be full of whether it's coronaviruses or some other pestilence. There is coming a great tribulation upon this earth. The good news is you don't have to be here when it happens if you'll receive Christ as your Savior. But notice some of the pestilences. Let's look at Luke 21, verse 11. And we don't have time to go into so many other things. This verse here talks about earthquakes as well. Luke 21:11. And great what? Earthquakes shall be in divers places. Well, divers is just short for diverse, various. Now, there have been a lot of earthquakes happen in what we think of as the diver's place down deep in the water. There's been a lot of them happening. You can subscribe and have every time there's an earthquake of a certain magnitude, it'll send it to your computer or your phone. There's been a lot of earthquakes happening across the world, a lot of them down deep in the ocean. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Pestilence. Well, here's one that's coming, Zechariah chapter 14. If you think this one is bad, look at this one. That is, if you think the coronavirus is bad, look at this one in Zechariah 14:12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against who?
Jerusalem.
And here it is. And let me just stop, though, for a moment. Who all has fought against Jerusalem? All the nations that surround them. Some of them are making peace with them right now. But there's still some. Iran is one place that's still threatening to wipe them off the face of the map if they get a nuclear bomb. And there are many others that hate Israel. Well, just see what's coming to them. They that have fought against Jerusalem, their flesh shall what? Consume away while they what? Stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall what? Consume away in their holes. And their what? Their tongue shall what? Consume away in their mouth. God is bringing a plague down upon all these who have fought against Israel. This plague, their body is just going to consume away. Their eyes, their tongue, their flesh. It's just going to consume away while they stand on their feet. You probably have heard of flesh-eating diseases before. Well, none will top this one. That is coming upon this world. This pestilence is coming, and there are so many people who scoff. They ridicule. But things are being set up right now just with the whole COVID situation and the vaccination situation. More and more people and places are talking about, well, you're not going to be able to do this unless you're vaccinated. Some people right now have to have it on their phone, not in our country, but in other country. If they're vaccinated, they have to have it on their phone that they've been vaccinated. And whoever they're with, whatever group of people, they have to make it known so that if one of them gets COVID, they can trace it. You talk about tracking. Notice with me in Revelation 16:1. All of those who take the mark of the beast. And I say, you know, the whole tattooing today, I've had people write in saying, well, I got tattooed with 666 in my foolishness, or I have a friend who got tattooed with 666. Can I or can that person still get saved? Well, let's look at this here in Revelation 16:1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of who? The beast. And upon them which worshipped his image. So here is another pestilence that's going to fall upon those with the mark of the beast. Well, here's the question. If someone does have it, and let's look at chapter 13. What if someone in their foolishness did get tattooed with 666? Can they be saved? Let's see what this says. Revelation 13:16. And he causeth who? All, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive what? A mark in their right hand or where? Okay, so number one, the mark of the beast must be on the right hand or the forehead. Only one of those two places. Okay, verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had what? The mark. Okay, there's three choices here. The mark or what? The name of the beast. We do not know his mark. We do not know his name. Now, like Nike, you know, if you see someone wearing a hat or shoes and it just has like the check mark, you know what it is. In your mind, you're thinking that's Nike. It doesn't say it, but that's their mark. I don't know what the mark of the beast is. No one knows what that is yet. Or his name. We do not know what his name is. I can remember when people used to say they thought Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. We don't know the name. But it goes on to say, or what? The number of his name. So people are going to have three choices. Take his mark or his name or the number of his name. We do know his number, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is what? 600, 3 score, and 6. So 600, 3 score. A score is 20, so 3 score. 3 times 20 is 60. So it's 666. It is 666. Now let's get back to, okay, what if someone has foolishly gotten tattooed with 666? Well, that really is foolish to do because this is no matter to play around with, is it? But the fact of the matter is that anyone right now who's tattooed with 666, that is not the 666 of the Antichrist, because it's like this. This is going to have to be something authentic, something that the Antichrist has record of and can track. So in the tribulation period, no one is going to be able to do a counterfeit 666 or a counterfeit mark or a counterfeit of his name. It's going to have to be something distinguished. It's going to have to be something that someone can't counterfeit, or people would just be doing it and not submit to him. So it's very foolish. But you know, the world is being prepped for this time. This whole coronavirus, you know, about, okay, we're using the vaccine to decide whether people get into sporting events or whether they can fly in an airplane or whether they can get into the grocery store. Or any store. People are throwing all these things around. We do know this. All of these things are in preparation for what is coming upon this earth. Now, you know what? We don't have to live in fear. We can live in faith. Notice in Proverbs 3. What we see, all of these things happening. So this is not a time, this is not a time for us to stop serving the Lord. This is a time where we need to serve the Lord. Proverbs 3:25. Be what? Not afraid of what? Sudden fear. It's like, oh no, Michigan's number one in COVID cases. Was be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Well, what gives us our confidence? The next verse, for who?
The Lord.
The Lord shall be what? Thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So we have a choice to live in fear or to live in faith, serving the Lord. I'll look earlier in this chapter, verse 5, Proverbs 3:5. What's the first four words? Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart, and lean not unto what? Thine own understanding. Why are our hearts troubled sometimes? Why do our minds become troubled? Because we're leaning on our own understanding. That's why. We're leaning on our own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct thy paths. That's what we need to do. We don't have to live in fear. We can live in faith. God will give us direction from day to day what we should and what we should not do. But all of these things happening are not to bring fear in our hearts, but to encourage us in faith. Notice with me in John 14, in John chapter 14. In verse 1, John 14, 1, the Bible says, in Jesus speaking, let not your heart, what?
Be troubled.
Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. As Pastor Jeremy shared with us in Sunday school, building materials not only have gone crazy with price right now, now it's coming to the point where they're just like this week going to be playing out of things. It's like no amount of money can buy those things now. You know what? That doesn't have to trouble us as Christians. You know what? Because who's building our house? Who's building our mansion? The Lord. And where is it? In heaven, according to his riches and glory. He's the one that supplies all of our needs. There's no shortage of material in heaven. Amen? No shortage. No problem there. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way. The what? The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and what? Have seen him. Jesus is saying, I'm God. He's God. Isaiah 9, 6. He'll be called the mighty God, the everlasting Father. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. So this morning, I don't know if you're troubled. Maybe you have perfect peace, and that's wonderful. But if you are troubled, the Bible says rest with us. Number one, to have rest, you've got to be in Christ. You must know Christ as your Savior. That takes repentance. That takes turning from the old life of sin to Jesus Christ. If we will turn to him and have the desire for him to cleanse us, he'll save us. That's number one. And the second thing is to be serving him. These times are troublous to the world, but you know what? To us, it should cause us excitement in the sense that we know our Savior could return at any moment to take us to be with him. We just need to be faithful serving him while we have the chance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, if there should be any here today who do not yet know you as Savior, I pray this morning they would cry out to you, Lord, I do confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I do believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I do believe that you rose again from the grave victorious. Lord, I do believe that you're coming again. And Lord, I do repent. I do turn from my sinful life. And I ask you to save me, to cleanse me from all my sin. I ask you to use me for your glory. Father, may no one leave here without Christ. May you help us as Christians not to be troubled, not to live in fear, but to live in faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me, let's turn to 252.